Hello, Lagos. Good afternoon. I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts. It's good to have you listening to the show today. I always say that the 1 million Lagosians who listen to hard facts cannot be wrong. So if you are tuning in for the very first time today, thank you. You are in great company. And if you witness a story or news event that you want Lagos to know about, call us on 01465-7175. 01465-7175. I have a great show for you. We'll start with the big three. Let's talk about the president's reasons for pardoning Dariye and Nyame. Then let's talk about reactions to APC's nomination form prices. And then let's talk about unpaid salaries in Abia and unpaid gratuities in Rivers. On today's Eyewitness, Chukwu Diezugu is back, and he'll talk to you about stories that are making the news for you. On today's Big Hard Fact, let's talk about the LASMA officer who was killed in a hit and run. Expect news, business, and sports at the top of the hour, every hour. But let's get started with today's Big Three. Like I said, I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, Lagos. These are your hard facts.
This is the Big Three. The Big Three on Hard Facts. On 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Do you agree with the president's reasons for pardoning Dariye and Nyame? Is 100 million naira too high for a presidential nomination form? How can state governments be prevented from owing salaries and pensions? Those are the big three, Lagos. Let's talk. The presidency says pardoning two ex-governors will not derail its fight against corruption. That's our first story. You already know that there's been a lot of criticism of the president's pardon of Plateau's Joshua Dariye and Taraba's Jolly Nyame. Both were convicted of corruption charges and they were sentenced to prison. The Supreme Court upheld the convictions. After exhausting their appeals, both convicts reached out to the federal executive to request a presidential pardon. And now the president has decided to pardon them after getting advice from the National Council of State. Now, I should make it clear yet again that the president's power to pardon is absolute. What that means is the president doesn't need to give a reason why he's pardoning anyone. So you cannot call a presidential pardon illegal. The only question is whether or not the president's choice of whom to pardon is popular or unpopular. And then also, what signal does it send? And here on Hard Facts, we've talked about this. We've talked about this, and some of you agreed with the critics who said that these particular pardons, these two particular pardons, send a bad signal about the commitment to fight corruption. But now the presidency has said that this is simply not true. We heard from Garba Shehu. He said that the president pardoned the two ex-governors on humanitarian grounds due to their very ill health. Garba Shehu is President Buhari's SSA on media and publicity. Shehu said that it would have been wicked of the president not to pardon them. Let me read what he said to you. He said, quote, "While it is natural that the cases of the ex-governors, two among many, would excite political analysts, coming at a time when elections are in the air, the president would at the same time have come across as insensitive and cruel to most people, were he to have ignored very compelling cases recommended for pardon made to him because someone is a former governor. Even governors have the right to be treated fairly under the law. President Buhari assures the nation that nothing done here was intended to achieve a political end or send a revisionist message on the relentless war against corruption, which he has ably and evidently led by personal examples," end quote. A lot of grammar there. So let me unpack it for you. First of all, Do you agree that most Nigerians would have felt that President Buhari was being cruel if he decided not to pardon these two ex-governors? That's the first question. Do you agree that most Nigerians would have felt President Buhari was being cruel if he decided not to pardon these two ex-governors? That's number one. Hold that question in your mind. Then let's talk about this statement. Even governors have the right to be treated fairly under the law. Would choosing not to pardon these two governors have been unfair? Remember, nobody has a right to be pardoned, though. It's completely at the president's discretion. So can we really talk about fairness here? Next, Garba Shehu said, these pardons were not intended to send a message about the war on corruption. So here's my question. Whether or not that was the intention, have these pardons sent a message? Was there an unintended message that the war on corruption is not serious? If you think there is, should the presidency have been aware that these pardons could send such a message? And if the answer to that last question is yes, should that have been a good enough reason not to give the pardons? The last point Garba Shehu made there is that the president's personal example should be enough to show the war on corruption is serious. Lagos, do you agree? Or do you believe that beyond just setting his personal example, every decision sends a signal about this war? Do you believe that the war against corruption is serious enough that, as a rule, President Buhari should never pardon any convicted government official just to send a message that the punishment cannot be avoided? What do you think? 01465-7190. Women, call me on that number. 01465-7190 for women. For men, 0700-993-993-993. 0700-993-993-993. Hello, thanks for calling us.
Sandra, how are you doing?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm fine.
What's your name?
This is Remy.
Welcome, Remy.
None of the excuses given is good enough to clear this damage control they are trying to do.
So you don't think that the president would have been cruel if he decided not to...
Any sane mind, Sandra, see, leave them. They're trying to gaslight the issue. It is so clear that the so-called and corruption fight has been a film trick. Let me put it that way.
Okay.
Once upon a time, criminals can no longer be called criminals, or because the presidency claimed they want to be humane or what?
Yes, they want to be humane. These people were ill.
Why can't they be humane with Evans, the kidnapper? Sandra? Why can't they be humane with Ezazaki and those who they are using the institution to fight against? Not even criminals now. You should realize that they're like those they are using the institution to fight against. Which, why can't they pardon them? It's one day Igbohos. Why can't they pardon them? You know, the Kanus.
But Garba Shehu also says that even governors have the right to be treated fairly under the law.
Nnamdi Kanu too has the right. Sunday Buhu too. Kidnapper, this guy too, has the right too.
So you're saying that choosing not to pardon these two governors would have been unfair?
Sandra, I'm livid. With the excuse, it doesn't hold water. You know, if you tell them, because corruption thing is nothing but a mere thing. They'll keep counting their successes. They mentioned that Jelly Yame. Okay, how about now? How many people have they imprisoned? Can they mention these two again?
All right, thank you very much for calling, Remy. 99.3, hello.
Hello, Sandra.
Thanks for calling. What's your name?
Good afternoon. Happiness from Ikorodu.
Happiness. Do you think the president would have been cruel if he decided not to pardon these two governors?
Oh, no, Sandra. That was a very wrong decision. He shouldn't have allowed them. No pardon. You don't pardon these people. They've not been nice to us. Sandra, this is a thing of... It's a shameful thing. Why would he do that? Sandra, that is not good at all. It's not good. These are leaders are not nice at all. It's a bad news. The bad news.
All right, Happiness. Thank you very much for calling 99.3. Hello.
Hello, Sandra. This is Joy.
Joy, good to have you on the show.
Long time. Sandra, mm-hmm. this jab, the more they do damage control, the more they shoot themselves on the foot.
Okay.
This is a man that came out to say he wants to fight corruption. In fact, he denied every other manifesto his party came up with and said, at least corruption is what everybody knows he said he wants to fight.
Okay.
Now, you that say you want to fight corruption, and you're pardoning people who were convicted, not that maybe it's allegedly,
mm-hmm.
who were convicted, you know, thieves
mm-hmm.
that stole from the coffers of the government.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, stealing from the government is a capital punishment in some countries.
Right.
So why would you, who does not have the political will to do the needful by making this a capital punishment, at least you give them prisoner terms. It's not only some of them, it's not 10 years, I mean 6 years that they gave them, Abby. Was it up to 20 years? I mean the terms that they are serving.
I don't remember right now.
Okay, fine. So now these people have been convicted, two people that we know that are the government.
Right.
And you now came now, you know, to say you're pardoning them. It's as if what you came out with, you have just been hypocritical. You are not, you know, you are not actually coming out to say you're fighting corruption.
We lost the connection to Joy there, but thank you so much, Joy, for calling. Again, you people are not interfacing with what the presidency is saying here. The presidency is saying that you know, President Buhari would have been cruel if he decided not to pardon these two ex-governors because they were pardoned on humanitarian grounds. They were ill, so they couldn't be in prison anymore. I mean, what do you think about that point? We've got Igwe Victor on the line. Hi.
Good afternoon, Sandra.
Good afternoon, Victor.
Thinking about the fact that the president would have been cruel if he hadn't forgiven these people. How many years have they spent in the various prison terms? Just like Remy said, there are more people that their detention are very, very that are causing more issues in Nigeria. There are tribal figures that their detentions are causing issues that if the government or the president had decided to set those people to let them go, I think it would have doubt some tension. I hope you understand what I mean.
Okay.
Just like Remy mentioned, Nnamdi Kanu, Sunday Igboho, and the rest of political prisoners who are there based on prisoners of conscience.
Right.
If something like that has been done, it would have been different. And when you just go and release, it's just like shooting yourself on the leg. That's my take. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Victor, for calling. If you just tuned in, hello to you. You're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. This is The Big Three. On The Big Three, we bring you three of the biggest stories for that day, and we let you share your thoughts on those stories. And our first one is the presidency saying that pardoning two ex-governors will not derail its fight against corruption. Everyone is still reacting to the pardon of Plateau's Joshua Dariye and Taraba's Jolly Nyame. They were convicted of corruption charges. They were sentenced to prison. Supreme Court upheld the convictions. They exhausted their appeals. They now reached out to the federal executive and requested a presidential pardon. And the president decided to pardon them after getting advice from the National Council of State. Now, before I started taking your calls, I reminded you that the president's power to pardon is absolute. The president doesn't need to give a reason why he's pardoning anyone. So you can't call a president's pardon illegal. You can only question whether or not the president's choice of whom to pardon is popular or unpopular. You can also say, oh, well, what signal are you sending by deciding to pardon this particular person or group of persons? Presidency said that, you know, they don't agree that this sends a bad signal about their corruption fight. We heard from Garba Shehu. Garba Shehu said that while it is natural that the cases of the ex-governors, two among many, would excite political analysts coming at a time when elections are in the air, the president would at the same time have come across as insensitive and cruel to most people were he to have ignored very compelling cases recommended for pardon made to him because someone is a former governor. even governors have the right to be treated fairly under the law. President Buhari assures the nation that nothing done here was intended to achieve a political end or send a revisionist message on the relentless war against corruption, which he has ably and evidently led by personal examples. Those are the words of Garba Shehu, the president's assistant on media and publicity. And I had so many questions off of that statement, right? So my first question was, do you agree that Nigerians would have felt like the president was wicked, like they would have felt that the president was insensitive, like they would have felt that the president was cruel if he decided not to pardon these two men, these two ex-governors? And then when Garba Shehu says, even governors have the right to be treated fairly under the law, would choosing to not pardon these particular two governors have been unfair? Because nobody has a right to be pardoned, though. It's completely up to the president to decide who he wants to pardon, who he doesn't want to pardon. It's completely at the president's discretion. So is this really a situation of fairness? And then I also talked about the intended message that this pardon would pass on the war on corruption, because Garba Shehu talked about it. And my question is whether or not they intended to pass a message or not. Have these pardons sent that message anyway? Was there an unintended message that the war on corruption is not serious? Should the presidency have been aware that these pardons could send such a message? Should that have been a good enough reason not to give these pardons? And then Garba Shehu's last example about the president's personal example, the last point Garba Shehu made about the president's personal example, should be enough to show that the war on corruption is serious. It made me ask, well, first of all, do you even agree? Second of all, do you believe that beyond just setting his personal example, every decision the president takes, the president makes, should send a signal about this war? Do you believe that the war on corruption is serious enough that as a rule, the president should never pardon any convicted government official? Just send a message. And the message is simple. You will never avoid punishment. Abi, are we making too much out of this? 0700-993-993-993. That's for men. For women, 01465-7190. We've got Twitter at Nigeria Info FM. We've got Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3. Hello, thanks for calling us.
Hello, Sandra.
Thank you for calling. What's your name?
Good afternoon. My name is Esther.
Good afternoon. Welcome, Esther.
Thank you. Sandra, to start with, whether intended or not intended, that pardon has passed a message, and it is a wrong message.
Okay.
That passed a wrong signal to everybody. And do you know how many prisoners have died in prison from one sickness or the other? If you wanted to pardon based on health conditions, you should have considered others. You know, I feel that you should have made, you know, the executives or people in government as a paramount example for people to learn from. You know, there's a saying that says that a leader's sin is a leading sin. So when you pardon somebody in government, it feels like, okay, everybody who is in government can do that. And when I am under the cover of government, I feel that, yes, at one point I can get pardoned. But when you do it to somebody who's not in government, you know, they cherish that pardon and it's like, wow, I have been pardoned. You know, it feels like something to them and they'll cherish it forever. So why not pick a random prisoner and give that pardon to them? There are many sick prisoners who are not even attended to and thereby they die in prison with their sicknesses. You know, pardoning these ones who even have the money to take care of themselves while in prison, they have the money to fend for themselves, they have the money to take care of their health, and then you pardon them based on being sick or something, it doesn't make sense to me. If you wanted to do that, give out that pardon, you should have picked a random prisoner. You know, you want to be human, yeah, you want to, in the spirit of the Easter or something, give out pardon, then you should have done it to a random prisoner who value that. because I don't think that those people who were given that pardon based on being in government, you know, I don't think they will value it. I don't think so. Okay. But you should have given it to somebody who would value and who would cherish that pardon. Thank you, Sandra.
Thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it. Someone was asking me how many years was he sentenced to. Joshua Darie was initially sentenced to 14 years, but it was reduced to 10 years. And the Supreme Court just affirmed it last year. So, yes, he's barely spent any time in prison. We've got Chika in Ajawa Estate on the line. Hi, Chika.
Yeah, Sandra, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm fine. Good afternoon.
Welcome. Good afternoon.
Yeah. Regarding the issue we are talking about, corruption, if we look at it the way it is, the way it's been perceived in other parts of the world, the way the suspect or the people that perpetrated the corruption is being treated, you know that we have not started. Garuba Shehu and maybe Femi Adesina, they can always make any kind of excuse for anything.
Okay.
For, you know, for this president or for this administration.
Okay.
But as far as I'm concerned,
right,
they have done a very huge disservice to the nation. They have dampened the spirit of these guys, the detectives, the operatives that work on that matter. You need to know what it takes to investigate matters of this sort.
Okay.
And then you need to now understand what it takes or how it traveled from the High Court to the Supreme Court. And then for these people to come and be defending trash, that's absolute nonsense. And then it's a shame that they are still claiming that they are... But you can't deceive people just like that. It's a modern world. They can make any defense for it, but as far as I'm concerned, and I'm sure too many Nigerians, it's a very, very, very wrong signal that have shown that, look, these guys are just taking us for granted. It's everything they do.
All right, Chika, thank you so much for calling. Joshua Jolly Nyame was sentenced to 12 years, and the Supreme Court affirmed that judgment back in 2020. So, yeah, they've barely served any time. And I guess in that time they fell ill, and the president, out of Obioma, you know, Ezigbo Mmadu, said, okay, I pardon you both. Let's take a break. Great Lagos, we'll be right back. Don't go away. Senate is 20 million. And when we talked about it yesterday, most of you said that these prices are too high. We also ran a poll on Twitter with the same results. But now the APC national woman leader is saying, if you don't get money, hide your face. Her name is Beta Edu. I don't know where that came from. But anyways, her name is Beta Edu. And she said, quote, when you make up your mind that you want to run, you should be able to prepare adequately for that race. Beyond that, there are many ways that young people can generate funding for elections. It mustn't be your money. There are many ways young people can generate funds to run for whatever elections they have. Remember, they are not paying 100% of whatever others are paying. If you're a young person who truly people believe in you and you truly have the masses, there's fundraising. If you want to run for the president of Nigeria, you need to go through the 36 states. Remember that the law states that you must have at least 25% across the board for you to be able to emerge. So it's beyond picking up the form and sitting down in one place and probably winning only one polling unit and you say you want to run. That's not what we should offer as a ruling party. We need to put some seriousness and scale into the game. And if you want to be able to cater for Nigerians, you should have gone above the games. And if you want to be able to cater for Nigerians, you should have gone above the point where you have to look for 50 million naira. If you don't even have access to 50 million naira and you want to run for presidency, then there's a problem already. How are we sure that you'll be able to manage so much funds if you are given that opportunity? End quote. Those are the words of Beta Edu. She's making multiple points, right? So first of all, she's pointing out that it doesn't need to be your own money. But if you want to run for these offices, you are going to need to prove that you can raise the funds for a campaign of that magnitude. But I guess the rebuttal would be, isn't that what the party is for? Shouldn't the party be the one that has the funds and the structure to run the campaign. But she does raise a valid point about fundraising and crowdfunding, no? Because you look at other democracies, and that's how it's done, to be honest. But she raised another point. She says, if someone has never seen 50 million naira, can they be trusted to handle the heavy money they will see when in government? Although I guess the answer to that could be that whether those who have seen big money in the past have handled government funds well. But I want to know what you think about Beta Idu's comments. 0700-993-993-993. Women, call us on 01465-7190. Meanwhile, Huriwa, the Human Rights Writers Association of Nigeria, says that EFCC should investigate anybody who can pay for the APC presidential form. They said, quote, anyone who buys the nomination form at such a scandalous amount should be arrested and handed over to law enforcement agencies such as EFCC or ICPC or the Nigeria Police Force for investigation on the source of the money. We were only just finished carpeting opposition People Democratic Party for bastardizing the process of nominating its presidential candidate by inflating the cost of its nomination form to 14 million. Little did we know that the politicians who run the federal government and have ruined the national economy will peg theirs at the extravagant cost of 100 million naira. End quote. That's what Huriwa said. Huriwa is the Human Rights Writers Association of Nigeria. They also said, quote, it is a shame that those who seek to govern Nigeria are made to cough out so much money to purchase forms just to signpost their original intention as persons whose only objective would be to first recoup their huge investments and to further impoverish the citizenry. We urge Nigerians to initiate citizens' arrest of anyone who buys the APC presidential form at the rate of 100 million naira and hand over those suspects to the relevant law enforcement agencies to explain their source of such huge funds. Citizens must demand accountability now, or we are enslaved by the higher bidder who purchases the seat of the president of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. End quote. But isn't that making an assumption that whoever buys the form will win the elections? Hey, for all you know, someone in a party that we don't even know who manages to have a structure across the country could win the election. But anyways, talk to me about these statements from Huriwa. Who do you agree more with? Do you agree with Beta Edu, the APC woman leader? Or do you agree with Huriwa, the Human Rights Writers Association of Nigeria? Unfortunately, I don't have WhatsApp available to me right now, so please send your messages to Facebook. If you have a message, don't go to WhatsApp, send it to Facebook. Facebook is Nigeria Info 99.3, Nigeria Info 99.3. You can tweet at me as well, tweet at Nigeria Info FM. Hello, thanks for calling us.
Hello.
Good to have you on the show. What's your name?
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Etim, good to have you on the show. Etim, do your best today to not insult anyone, okay?
I'm just saying, do your best, not insult anyone. Some of these governors, either as or serving governors, mostly serving governors, they are entitled to pension. You see, they cannot afford this one. And some of them, they don't pay party dues. So the party use this opportunity to get back at them. Let me tell you what happened to Ayade in 2019. He went abroad to obtain the fund. When he went there, the National Working Committee, led by Uche Sekondu, referred it to his former boss, Yerimoke. They had to do back to Yerimoke hometown, Ikigidi, to beg him because he was dodging the sword that maybe he might betray them after he obtained, he win the second tenure under the platform of PDP. So he had been dodging from PDP activities, meeting, whatever, even their emperor commando in the south, who's the remote team there, say they will get back our team at the right time. Before he pay all the dues owed to his former boss, political godfather, before they allow him to obtain the form in Abuja. So all these people that, if you can't say that you don't have money to campaign, you do not have money, how much they are going to pay to hire private jets, hire DJ, in that is the state of the federation, and hire musicians. Then we start mobilizing transportation from ward to local government delegates that will attend the party rally in the state capital in all the 36 states of the federation.
when they will go to the person that is going to win, when they will serve him morning coffee that worth up to either 500,000. These people that are complaining, are they going to enjoy? Are they going to enjoy it with them?
What kind of coffee are you drinking that is 500,000, Etim?
Okay. What about the newspaper allowance?
Which allowance? Which allowance?
The president entitled to.
Okay, so because of
what their money juicing benefit, so they should pay. If you don't have money, don't. It is only a brief state that cross the road or animal. It is only a brief hunter that goes to the forest to hunt for a lion.
Let me understand what you're saying. You're saying that 100 million naira for nomination form could get you access to all the perks and luxury that comes with being president.
Let people complain during the time of
it's a simple question. Etim, it's a simple question. You're saying that 100 million naira form could get you access to all the luxuries that a president could enjoy. So why are you complaining? Cough it out, huh?
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. 99.3. Hello.
President Sandra, good afternoon.
Good to have you on the show. What's your name, sir?
This is Chris, your senior special advisor.
Welcome. Good to have you on the show.
Thank you.
Welcome.
The first one, like some of the callers said, but my own fear is this conditioning. They know we can only talk. And this donkey attitude they have. Look at the explanation Shehu Garuba is giving. You hear what our man from Ajawo said? For me, President Sandra, not you.
Okay.
Not you deceive me. If somebody deceive me, I don't have problem. But whoever I deceive myself, that is where I have problem. Then for this 100 million of form, I don't know why Nigerians are catching cold about that. Anything APC. So people are still interested to know what they are doing. Look at the explanation one of them give now to tell you that all is well. So Nigeria, the ball is in our court. Hello, President Sandra.
I'm here. I can hear you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, my sister.
Thank you very much for calling. Abioye is on the line. Hi, Abioye.
Hi, Sandra. How are you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
Good, thank you. As for the pardon, I don't have a problem with him pardoning people, but I feel like you claimed you were here to fight corruption. The only two people, if I'm correct, were convicted of corruption. You went ahead after serving like a year to pardon them. How does that? That's a conflict of interest. It doesn't even make any sense. Like, every reason Garuba Shehu gave is all politics. They cannot hold water. As for the 100 million, it's obvious that they want to, like, eliminate the small dogs and leave it for the big dogs. But we'll see what will happen. Thank you, Sandra.
All right, Abioye, thank you very much for calling. Let's quickly bring you our final story. Yes, and then we'll keep taking your calls on all three stories. Retirees in River State are protesting owed gratuities of over 7 years. That's our third story. 7 years. They marched on Government House in Port Harcourt yesterday. Some of these retirees are government workers, you know, retired from government service. They claim that they have been owed gratuities since 2012. They are alleging that none of them have been paid any gratuity since 2015, when Governor Nyesom Wike took office. The state government has responded. They assured the protesters that the governor has approved gratuity payments for 1,000 of them, and the money should be paid next week. Now, of course, there's an obvious question there, right? Why is that? Why is it that so often government workers have to protest before they get their entitlements? The same thing is happening in Abia State right now. Staff of the State Hospital Management Board say that they're being owed salaries for the last 12 months. They protested on Tuesday. And this is not the first time that we've heard of unpaid salaries in Abia State in the last few years. But let's go back to River State. I'm really interested in there. In River State, it's a very interesting case because the state governor, Nyesom Wike, is running for president. Meanwhile, the protesters are saying that he has never paid them gratuity. And like I told you, some of them owed gratuity allegedly go back to 2012, before Nweke's tenure. And who was governor back then? Rotimi Amaechi, who is also running for president. And you have so many Nigerians asking, should government officials who have a track record of unpaid salaries, unpaid pensions, unpaid gratuities as governors be running for president? But let's have an even bigger conversation here. It's clear that unpaid salaries and benefits are a widespread problem across many states. By the way, it's actually illegal. It's illegal, but nobody ever gets punished for it. But my question is, isn't there a way for the system to force governors to pay salaries, no matter what? For example, we hear about first-line charges in a budget, which are deducted from source no matter what. One example is debt service payments, right? No state can dodge a debt repayment. You know, if you do, because that money is deducted from the federal account, the federation account, a lot of the time. Same thing at the federal level for payments to the judiciary or payments to INEC. So my question is, should the laws be amended? Should they be changed to make sure that state government workers' salaries are a first-line charge so that governors no longer have the option to divert the money to pay for other things? I know I've talked about this thing before on this show because that's the most obvious solution in my mind. But do you have another solution, another suggestion for checkmating the problem of governors owing salaries? 01465-7190, that's for women. 0700-993-993-993. Remember, WhatsApp isn't working. So send your messages to us on Facebook. Facebook is Nigeria Info 99.3. You can also share your thoughts with us via Twitter at Nigeria Info FM. Hello, thanks for calling us.
Hello.
Good to have you on the show. What's your name?
Emeka is my name, from Satellite Town.
Emeka from Satellite Town, welcome.
First of all, on the issue of the presidential pardon extended to the two ex-governors, mm-hmm. convicted ex-governors,
mm-hmm.
I am not surprised. Okay. I'm surprised that people are surprised.
Okay.
My reason is that this anti-corruption war, for me, has been a charade all along.
Okay.
When we take into consideration the number of high-profile cases that have not yet been able to be prosecuted to logical conclusion, there shouldn't be any reason for us to be surprised at what has just happened. How many cases has this administration been able to prosecute the logical conclusion in the name of fighting corruption? Now, just the two who were celebrating after years of prosecution, after expending taxpayers' money on them, all of a sudden, just because of some form of illness or whatever, they have been granted presidential pardon. Of course, it's within the prerogative of Mr. President to do that. But for me, this is ridiculous. It's laughable. And it sends a very wrong signal concerning the anti-corruption war.
Hmm.
Regarding the form, nomination or expression form, for me, like one caller said, I don't know why we are bothered about APC and what they're doing or what PDP is doing. I have expected by now we'll have a third force that will create an enabling or a better platform for younger candidates to emerge. Because what we are seeing in Nigeria now is a gradual descent from democracy to plutocracy. It's not that democracy but plutocracy, a government of the wealthy.
Okay.
These people are trying to tighten their noose or their grip on power so that younger candidates cannot emerge.
Okay.
But the ball is on our court as the electorate to decide whether we want to continue with this form of oppression. I want to liken it to what Joyce Oyemowa just concluded.
Okay.
This form of oppression or not, because this is a subtle form of oppression.
Okay.
So for me, I am not surprised with what is happening, but the ball is in our court as the electorate to decide wisely this time around.
All right. Thank you very much for calling, Emeka. We've got Oluwaseola in Bariga on the line. Hi, Oluwaseola.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Yeah. On pardon, I think everybody talked much on that.
Hmm.
I think the whole world is watching what is happening.
Okay.
Then on APC, with the woman leader said the reason why they increase the money is to make sure the person that can afford to spend money get there to manage money in Nigeria. But their party is in power now. Can they manage our money? They cannot. They don't. This is the idea. They don't manage our money well. We don't know how much is coming in, how much they are spending. And that is not the issue. The issue is to make sure it's difficult for anybody that's going to say they want to rule as a president, get that to make sure the person is going to work. The high cost of governor, they're supposed to reduce it. That will make it difficult. If you are not going there to work, you know just that they are, all of them are going there for pleasure. They know that anything they want to do, they will get away with it. Because of what is happening now, we complain. Nobody listening to us. Everybody is working under fear. The media is working under fear. You know that if you get there again, there is going to continue. I want Nigeria now to wake up. Because what they are going to say, that the system allows it, the constitution does not provide to take care of anybody, but whenever they want to do their own, they put it in constitution.
Oluwashola, thank you so much for calling. We've got a message from Priscilla on Twitter. Priscilla says, there are a lot of sick people in prisons. Why single out public officials who were convicted for embezzling public funds? Corruption, corruption, corruption. Priscilla with that message on Twitter. We've got Ayatoyinbo Adesina who says, the pardon is quite a step in the wrong direction. The more these APC people try to make things up, the more it's exacerbated. Embezzling public funds should be unpardonable. Is this not punishable with death in China? That they always make reference to. So unfortunate. All right. A message there from Adesina. Thank you very much, Adesina, for your message. Oluwaseun on Facebook. Lee Joka Oluwaseun says, hi, Sandra. I believe it is even cruel to have wasted public funds and thrown away all the efforts of the lawyers, judges, and EFCC that brought these governors to justice by pardoning them. It is not fair on Nigerians. Oluwaseun is in Canada. We've got Olodude Muiwa who says, pardoning those ex-governors is a slap on the people's face and an indirect end of the war against corruption. The cost of nomination forms is outrageous, which will breed godfatherism and kill fair play and equity. Political office holders with negative track records should be tried and jailed, then prevented from running any further posts. Olodude Muiwa with that message there. By the way, I have been trying to reach Pius Omo Atemus. If you know who that boy is, please tell him that we're trying to reach him. He's one of the candidates for I Beg to Differ. He's one of those who made it automatically into the tournament. Atemus Pius Omo, that's his name. If you know who he is, we're trying to reach him. The number he provided for us is not connecting. It's not even giving us any message. It's simply not connecting. So please, if you know who Atemus is, tell him to reach out to us, to check his email. Let him know that we've sent an email across to him. His name is Atemus Pius Omo. That's his name. Pius Omo Atemus. He is a student at I'm trying to get that information so that I can share it fully with you. But his name is Pius Omo Atemus. If you are a church member of his, or you go to the same school, or you're his teacher, his principal, if you live on his street, play with him on Saturday mornings, let him know that we're trying to reach him. He's an SS2. He's 15 years old. He attends the New Estate Baptist School. New Estate Baptist School. He's 15. Pius Omo Atemus attends a school at the New Estate Baptist School. He's an SS2 there. So if you know who this is, a 15-year-old boy, please have him reach out to us. The deadline for him to submit his documents that will help us confirm that he's eligible for this tournament is this Saturday. We sent an email out since 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago was when we sent out emails to all the candidates, and we've still not heard from him. So please, if you know who he is, have him reach out to us. Same message is also going out to Adoyi Justina. Adoyi Justina is also one of the candidates who made it directly into the tournament. Is Justina a playoff candidate or a top 14 candidate? Top 14, okay. So Justina is a top 14 candidate. We're also trying to reach her. Her number is also not reachable. We've sent them text messages. We've sent them emails. We've been trying to call them. We simply cannot reach them. So if you know who she is, please have her reach out to us. Have her check her email. Have her respond to us. Tell someone who may know her. If you know someone who could know her, you are in her street, you go to her church, I don't know what young girls these days do. You know, just find her and have her reach out to us. She's an SS1. She is 15 years old. She attends Bethesda Secondary School. Bethesda Secondary School. That's the name of her school. So if you know that school, you know the principal, try and reach out. We're also going to try and reach out to these schools directly. Are you hearing? So let's try and reach out to their schools directly and see if we can find these kids. It's holiday, so it may be making things a bit more complicated. Bethesda Secondary School. She's in SS1. Her name is Adoyi Justina. She's 15 years old, and she's one of the top 14 candidates who will be debating for you right here on the Nigeria Info, I Beg to Differ, in May. So please, if you find her, let her reach out to us. It's quite urgent. The deadline is this Saturday. After this Saturday, they can't reach out to us anymore. That's next tomorrow. It's almost here. So please, 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 please help us. Thank you. Okay, let me come back to the phone lines. 99.3, hello.
Good evening.
Good evening to you.
Yeah. My name is Dan Baba.
Dan Baba, welcome.
Thank you.
We've got three stories. Which one do you want to talk about?
You see, APC 100 million nomination form.
Okay.
I don't have issue with that. I don't believe in APC. I know who they are. But my point is that, Sandra, have you ever seen a country where the leader will tell you that the country is broke? And the individuals, just politicians and people in government, are very, very rich. I don't know how that works, including the Minister of Labor, who has been negotiating with ASUU. Also, all of a sudden, have 100 million who want to contest for this presidential election. How did they get this money?
Well, we don't know that he has it because they all announced before they heard the price of the form. So now that we've heard the price of the form, let's see who will buy it.
He will buy it now. He's contesting. Even the one that he built the one kind of aeroplane or rail line, that the bomb or sometimes they push it, even have 100 million. And if you don't know that one, have out of a week, I cannot pay pension. Where is he going to get the 40 million from?
Good question. Let's leave it at that. We have a break coming up, but when we come back from this break, we'll still have a bit of time and then we can take a few more thoughts. Alex, you'll have to give us a call back. You're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Again, Justina Adoyin, Atemus Pius Omo, reach out to us. Check your emails, the emails you used to apply for I Beg to Differ. It's urgent. This Saturday, if we don't hear from you, we're going to replace you with two other candidates, okay? So if you still want to do it, reach out to us via your emails. Check your emails right now.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We'll be right back.
From Nigerian masses, they don't understand economic hardship. Divine Arop says unpaid gratuities in rivers is being paid because of the upcoming election. That is why they want to pay them next week. Who they was praised for has been frittered away for political expediency. They never had an anti-corruption plan on paper. A plan would ordinarily have set targets and milestones. Has anyone ever heard of anyone wanting to fight corruption in any country? He needs a clean law enforcement agency, in this case, the police. But when the police is the most corrupt agency in your country, how can you successfully fight corruption? Buhari has just shown us that he sold us a lemon to become president. He's a president who just by the way, was the money they stole recovered? Money with that message. Money's listening all the way from Houston. Oluwato Singh says, Sandra, unfortunately, we are in a country where citizens don't demand accountability from their leaders. We are all in this boat together. You ain't seen nothing yet. More millions are still going to be spent. Watch out. I only pity the generality of our illiterate citizens who praise seeing these political contractors. Nigerians should wake up lest there be more trouble ahead for us. I actually do not think that Nigerians don't hold their leaders accountable. I mean, all of these conversations we're having here on a very public forum such as Nigeria Info, that's part of holding government accountable. Are they doing enough? You can argue that they're not doing enough. You can argue that there's so much more that Nigerians should be doing, can be doing. But I disagree that Nigerian citizens are not holding their governments accountable. They're doing that every single day on every single show on Nigeria Info. They're doing it on their different social media platforms and their different social media pages. Can we be a bit more collective about it? Perhaps. Can we be a bit more decisive about it? Perhaps. Are there more things that we could be doing to, show displeasure about some government policies? Perhaps. But are they holding government accountable? I think to an extent they are. Maybe that should be a debate topic in the upcoming tournament. How many topics I don't talk now? Where I say it should be a debate topic. All right, let's take a break. Bring you the business news. When the business news is done, Chukwu Diezugu, the caretaker of Lagos, is back in the studio. Such a great time off he had enjoying his holiday. We're glad to have him back. He'll be here in a few seconds. Don't go away.
It's 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's